I've been inundated by a message which says, good morning, Greg. Could you please wish Highland Radio's own DMD, Donna Marie Doherty, a very happy birthday for today. That comes in from Derek in Sion Mills.
Oh, very good.
Hot off the press. Hi, Greg. Please, can you wish Highland Radio's own Donna Marie Doherty a very happy birthday for today with loads of love from Maggie, Willie and family.
Oh.
So it's your birthday today. How do you feel?
Good.
Was your birthday far enough from Christmas as a child? What, they were two separate things? They are far enough, aren't they? I always feel sorry for people with a birthday on the 24th, 25th, 26th.
The only time it was ever an issue was during the big freeze.
Oh, talk to me about the big
freeze.
And
we had to move the party to mid-December. Then I was so excited to get back to school to have everyone over for the party that I didn't give anyone any notice. And Santa was away to Michaelhenny's. So everyone went to go see Santa. There was no party then.
So it was either DMD or Santa.
Yeah.
Well, funny you should mention Santa, because I'm going to be out seeing Santa later on this morning between 11:30. So listeners and viewers, if you want to hop on to our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland, I'm going to be nipping outside studio because Santa is arriving here and apparently he's bringing the sleigh and everything. And we're going to go out and have a quick chat. See what's going on out there. I'm not sure if Santa's chatting too much anyway, but I'm sure he'll have people with him that will talk. So Santa's going to be outside here a little later on and people can watch it, Donna Marie, by going on to YouTube Highland Radio Ireland, watching on their big screen, their smart fire stick, which I'm sure they don't use for dodgy boxing. And also Facebook. How exciting is that?
That is so exciting.
Say hello to him.
Oh yeah, right, for sure.
So anything planned for your birthday?
No, I have rehearsals this evening, so I'll do something the weekend when we're on.
Boring. But exciting at the same time, the rehearsals. All right, we'll chat to you in a bit, Donna Marie. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, so as I say, I'm going to be nipping out to see Santa. You can watch that on our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel. And do you know what? If your young ones would like to see that, but they're at school or what have you, you can play it back on YouTube a little later on today and you can say, look, Santa called in to see Greg and Highland to say hello to all the girls and the boys. Okay. I want to mention a couple of things here. And I'm not mentioning this because the lovely lady that is Mary Worski landed in here with beautiful scones and biscuits a couple of days ago. I'm not saying it because of that, okay? But Michael and Mary Worski, a beautiful, kind-hearted Kerrykeel couple, they're counting down the days to the switching on of their annual magnificent Christmas lights display for charity on Saturday. I saw a little preview on social media. They're looking fantastic already, but they go on officially on Saturday. So you can go and see them between 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. every day from Saturday, the 2nd of December onwards. They're in Kerrykeel and I have their air code here, F92F9W4, which gets you straight there. And it's free, okay, but there's a little donation box if you want to donate to the chosen charities. And they always raise brilliant money. There's so much organisation goes into that and they make lovely scones. Right, okay. It is the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or you can give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Now, a Northwest TD's called on the Taoiseach to lead an open and honest discussion on migration and Irish migration policy. Sligo Leitrim and South Donegal Deputy Marion Harkin raised recent instances in Drumahair Leitrim where blockades were allegedly prepared and checkpoints mounted by some local people after inaccurate reports that busloads of asylum seekers were en route to the area on Friday night. But look, we have seen accurate reports of people coming into an area and protests taking place. So whether or not it happened in Leitrim, it's happening right across the country, happened here in Donegal, and I'm sure it will into the future. So Deputy Marion Harkin, thanks for joining me and good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Greg, and to all your listeners.
So what does an open and honest discussion on migration look like in your view?
Well, I think, and the Taoiseach started it yesterday, to be fair to him, that he lets Irish people know what the situation is, the different types of migration, what the numbers are, where people are coming from, how our support, that by that I mean our social welfare supports, our housing, our health supports, compare with elsewhere, and that people get a real sense of what is happening and also what our international obligations are. Because I think for too long we have been reticent about speaking about migration and its impacts its impact on the people who come here and its impact on the community.
But people are told, if you have concerns, people says, don't worry about it, don't say anything, don't. That's not who we are, that's not what we think. But the reality is that there's 13,000 homeless here. Our Housing Solution, by the way, just to be very clear on this, a Housing Solution for a majority of Ukrainian refugees or international protection applicants is not what our response should be to Irish homelessness, putting Irish homeless people without further supports in tents or in crowded accommodation or in hotel rooms. I don't think anyone would see that as a solution. So I don't think it's an either or. But that being said, you know, people feel that they are struggling, they're in great difficulty, yet we are throwing massive resources at helping Ukrainian people. They don't mind that we're doing that. They don't mind perhaps that we are meeting the commitments that we signed up for in terms of international protection. But they're saying, but what about us? And it's not rooted in racism. It's not rooted in anything like that there. It's just literally, you know, how people feel. But still, I don't think that conversation is being had.
No, it's not. And the Taoiseach hinted at it some time back. He spoke about, you know, that there might be a bit of a pull factor, etc. And we need to have that conversation. And it needs to come from the top, from government, because they're the people running the country. They're the people in charge. My own personal view is that, of course, we opened our doors and our hearts to Ukrainians. But the amount of support that we are giving to them, I believe that needs either to be cut or that they would pay for their accommodation, their food, their heat, just like Irish people do. And that isn't being discriminatory or racist. That is just saying that, you know, everyone who lives here has a responsibility. And if somebody comes fleeing war, and as I said, you know, the numbers of people who took them into their own homes, the numbers of communities who've made every effort to integrate them, and many Ukrainians themselves are taking up work, taking up jobs. This isn't a general statement, but my general comment is that we need to look at the level of supports that we are giving. I think they need to be much more like what's in other European countries, and because there definitely is a pull factor here. And of course, people, it's human nature. They will come to where...
There is a distinction. This is, people make a distinction for right or wrong, but I'm just going to say it, between families and single men. You know, and we have seen a large increase in the number of international protection applicants. They seem to be majority single fellas. That does create a different dynamic in a community for some than it might if you have 60 people made up of families. Do you know what I mean? If you get 60 fellas in, it throws the balance of a community off. People might feel there's no information, there's a vacuum of information, no one knows what's going on. What is your views on the commitments we signed up to in terms of international protection? Are we doing enough? Are we doing too much? Do we need to roll back on that? What needs to happen? And I'm going to separate that part of immigration out separate, if that's okay, Marion.
Yeah, no, that's fine, because it is an issue. And again, I can't ask the Taoiseach to lead this debate if I'm not prepared myself to engage. And it is an issue. I mean, if we go back to the situation in Drumahair, the community there is saying, with open arms, we'll welcome families. But rumours were flying around the village just less than a week ago about a busload of 91 males arriving. It was a hoax. It wasn't true. But that's what caused tensions to rise, because 91 males, it doesn't matter where they come from, Ireland, you know, anywhere else, arriving into a location that's cramped, that has no facilities, a village that's already full, just throws everything off kilter, and it really concerns people. Right or wrong, that's how it is.
And another concern is beyond that too. We can't surely continue to provide accommodation for our visitors, our guests, and those that may well end up living here for the rest of their lives. That's to be determined by them and others, in hotels. We have massive amounts of occupancy taken up in Donegal, Leitrim and Sligo, particularly Donegal. We've done far and above what other counties have. And we're heading towards a new tourism season where international tourists are already looking at where to go. And they simply can't find somewhere to stay in large parts of Donegal, and where there are hotel rooms available, they're very expensive because they're very few in number. Now, that doesn't mean we have to send people home, in inverted commas, but we can't continue to house people in tourism accommodation with it not affecting that ecosystem.
Of course, it's a massive concern, and especially in the northwest. I'm not sure the exact figure in Donegal, but I do know that in Leitrim,
the last figure was 55%. Now, I'm not sure if it's changed much since then, but it was over half of the rooms, hotel rooms. Yep.
Yeah, had it. And they also estimated that 82% of the Bord Fáilte registered accommodation in Leitrim was being used for asylum seekers. And I know Sligo was nearly on a par with Donegal. So that's a massive issue. And I mean, the minister herself, Catherine Martin, has spoken about this and admitted it in the Dáil. But it's like as if this doesn't feature.
But what frustrates me, Marion, is if we're told, if the public are told, the general population, I'm not on about people on the left or the right. In fairness, it's like a horseshoe. They all end up meeting in the middle anyway. So I don't care much for extreme politics, right? But your average person just wants info. What's the plan? What are we going to do? What if we've got 5,000 new residents of Donegal, right? So just tell us, what are you going to do in terms of housing, or what's the long-term plan? In terms of supporting GP practices, community hospitals, acute hospitals, what's the plan there? Because in the absence of that information, it's just worry. It's not racism or bigotry or wanting people out. It's just simply a lack of information. What's the plan? Talk to us. We're big adults. We're very generous. We've opened our arms. You know, there's been very few instances. You know, we can amplify the minority, but there's been very few instances here. We're incredibly welcoming, but people just want info. Tell us what's going on. What's the plan? Where are we going? What do you want from us? What will you give us? What way does it work?
Absolutely, I agree. That's very much part of the discussion that needs to be had. Because, Greg, when a number of asylum seekers go to any town, any village, that's the department's job done. But the next week, the next month, the next 6 months, the next year, that community has to manage what has happened. And instead of being proactive, working with communities, and I know the government have a fund in place, and I know some communities have benefited from it after the fact. But instead of being proactive and working with communities, telling them what they're going to do. Maybe not all of their issues will be solved, but some of them. Then that makes people understand a bit better what's going on and become be more welcoming. But it's when people are left in limbo. When, I mean, I, for example, was with a group in Boyle recently in County Roscommon, and they informed me that a few weeks back, in the middle of the night, nobody knew, a bus arrived. 20 international protection young men arrived into a building there. And of course, now the town is rife with rumour about, oh, there's this building, there's that building getting planning, there's this building being done up. What's happening? We don't know. Nobody was told beforehand. No politicians, nobody. And it's that kind of just people being caught on the hop. And then, as you say, no plans about how communities manage what is happening. But I think we're going to have to, and I agree with the Taoiseach, a European solution will be part of what we do here. But equally, look to our European partners, see what happens there, how they manage.
Yeah, but we kind of know in terms of how long people, what financial supports are there, how long people are accommodated and what have you. I get you. Okay, listen, thank you for your time this morning. I genuinely appreciate it. Take care of yourself. That's TD Marion Harkin there. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, by the way. Or you can give us a call on 07491 25000. Santi is going, you're going to have to turn that horizontal, Kevin, or I'm going to take you out, sunshine. Kevin's going to be filming us going outside. Yes, good man. Kevin's going to be filming us going outside in a second. So if you want a watch, as I go out and say hello to Santi, he'll be arriving soon. Please get onto our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. You can watch on your big TV, on your Fire Stick, or across our Facebook pages. Right, let's take a break. I'll be back with you very shortly. Are we able to go out now, Kevin? Can you hear me okay? Let me see. 1, 2. Let's
1, 2. Yes. Okay, we're going mobile. So as I say, if you want to watch, get onto our, let me just check the volume here. Perfect. Get onto our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel. Kevin, come on, let's go. Right. Okay, quite busy here at Highland Radio today. We're outside the studio. It's so exciting. I've never seen such a, well, look who it is. Kevin, come here. Look who it is. It's only the man himself. Santa is here now. He's got loads of presents and he's dancing. We're dancing. Okay, this is more of a video thing than a... Okay. Santa, are you very busy? I won't keep you. I know you're not a bit...
Very, very busy. Okay. And Merry Christmas to all our Highland Radio listeners from Santa here in the North Pole.
How are preparations going for all the boys and girls?
Excellent. We're getting all preparations, presents ready for it all and for all the listeners of Highland Radio.
Kevin, come here and have a look at Santa's sack. Would you have a look at that? We'll go outside too. Can I go out and have a look at your say, Santa? Can I? Is it out here?
Yeah.
Kevin, come on. All right, here we are outside. Wow, look at this. Kevin, where are you? There you are, sunshine. There's Santa's sleigh and everything ready to go. Marching. Come here, how are you getting on?
I'm getting on the best. How are you getting on? A happy Christmas to you.
And happy Christmas to you. You're in the full flow of Christmas now here. Marching, of course, from Kelly's across the road.
We've got the whole lot going today, so we're doing some school visits today with Santa Claus all the way from the North Pole, just delivering some selection boxes and some Christmas cheer. And so today and tomorrow, we're going to be doing some deliveries and visits and so on and so forth. So it's great.
How did you manage to get Santa's services, you know, so close to Christmas? Remember, this is a very busy time for him.
It was really difficult. So what we done is we rang Santa Claus this time last year and we kind of preempted that this was going to happen this year. So we had all that planned a year in advance. And he is really busy this time of year, really busy. So we're really lucky to have him for these 2 days.
So where are you going next?
So after this, we're actually going back to our store and then we're going to St. Gabriel's.
There's nothing wrong with his bell anyway, is there?
There's nothing wrong with his bell. He's ringing it there all morning. He's doing a great job. And we've already visited about 200 children today.
Wow, fantastic stuff. Loads of smiles, loads of happy faces.
Loads of smiles, loads of happy faces, loads of cold hands because it's a cold one today. But listen, they're delighted to get their new selection box.
All right, brilliant stuff. Thanks, Marchie. And have another look at that. Right, Santi, what? Oh, Santi's dancing. Over here, Kevin. Santi's mad for the dancing. Okay, we've got Santa Claus dancing away here. Christmas jumpers and everything, which is fantastic. Santi, thank you so much for calling up.
You're very welcome.
Are you out of breath, Santi? Okay, we have a very joyful... come on, Kevin, back in here. I would say goodbye to Santi. Wave him up, Kevin. See you, Santi. Thanks so much for calling up. It's been great having you up. Thank you so much. So we'll go back to studio now. Well, that was exciting, wasn't it? Okay, this is, believe it or not, the 9 till noon show. But when we get an opportunity to interview Santi, we're going to have to take that opportunity. All right.
Okay, we're back in studio. We'll reflect back on Santa's visit there in a moment, but on to a different issue altogether now. And we'll welcome onto the programme, Liz. How are you getting on, Liz? Thanks for your time today.
Hello, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Right. And this is the challenge we face in discussing issues, in that we sort of, you know, have to separate the actions of some versus the concerns of others and what have you. But what happened in Fallcarragh is, I think, by anyone's measure, disturbing. Can you tell us what happened?
On Friday night, Greg, two men in balaclavas came and... I presume they think they protested. They put on an old-fashioned boombox and they played Irish rebel songs. And they stood outside where some of my Ukrainian friends live. And they shouted, out, 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 you're not wanted here, go home. Various other racial slurs, which I'm quite sure I can't say on the radio. And it was kind of disgusting and very unpleasant behaviour. particularly in light of the things that happened in Dublin, I think. And it in no way reflects the vast majority of the people, I would hope, in the island of Ireland, but certainly not in Fulcara or Dunfanaghy. There is a video of the incident. I think I passed it on to one of your producers. I hope maybe you could put it up on Facebook, because the Garda are obviously involved in this and would be very interested to hear from anybody who knows maybe who this man is. He has a Scottish accent. And there's also a lady who, well, I tell you what, Greg, it takes a woman. She is seen on the video confronting one of the men with a balaclava and telling them a very strong list of expletives, which sadly I can't repeat again.
Are they in the video? I'll tell you what I might do is just to give the listener, I'm going to play the start of the video because I don't believe there's any foul language in it, but I just want, for those who aren't watching, to imagine the scene. This is outside accommodation where Ukrainians are living. It's nighttime, and of course they're going to open the windows because there's a bit of a disturbance outside. So as the video is playing and you can hear the music, there's a person in a balaclava holding the phone, which presumably is controlling the music, and he's pacing up and down outside this accommodation. Just listen for a little bit longer here. You can hear, I just have to be careful there in case any language leaks there. But you can hear him then shouting, out, out, out.
Out, out.
It doesn't matter who it is. And that's a crazy way of putting it, because it sounds like it would be okay if it was anyone else.
Well, but I think it does matter who he is, Greg, because I think he has to be prosecuted.
What I meant was who it is that's being targeted like this. It would be incredibly scary and intimidating.
And bear in mind as well, even more so, Greg, these people have come from a war. They are escaping a war, and there are young men in this accommodation in these flats, and quite a few of them are ex-Ukrainian army. They have been fighting in the war, they have fought the Russians, a number of them have injuries from shrapnel and bombs, and they have been discharged from the Ukrainian army, and they have PTSD. And there's no doubt about it. I say this obviously as a woman from Northern Ireland who lived through the Troubles and can spot PTSD 20 paces. And the most horrifying thing for me was then they sent a WhatsApp message around most of Donegal, but particularly this area on Saturday night, saying, stay in, lock yourself in your house, keep a grab bag, get your documents ready to go, sleep in your clothes, keep low when you go out, watch your children, we'll tell you what's coming. If you're firebombed, get a towel, wet towel, and put it over your face.
This was sent to people
from
in
the
this
Ukrainians to each other.
Right.
They all did it, all over Dunfanaghy, all over Fulcara. I think it went as far as Kilmacrenan. And they were WhatsApping each other saying, this might happen to you, be careful, be aware. This is the very WhatsApp they sent to one another when the Russians were coming.
You see this, when you see sort of with this person what he's doing, you know, if he gets joined by another 5 or 10 or 15, you can see how very quickly it could escalate into something incredibly serious. This person seems incredibly angry,
He seems personally incredibly soft in the head, myself. But, you know, we hope it will never, ever get to that, Greg, that the people of Donegal need to put their head above the parapet a little bit and, you know, reach out to their local councillors and TDs and say, this is not acceptable. This is not how we think. This is not who we are. The people of Ireland are not like this. There are warnings across the US, Canada and Australia for travellers coming from those countries, coming to Dublin, to be careful. That's who the world think we are after the Dublin riots. Let's not the world think that this is who we are in Donegal. We are not. We are hospitable, warm, welcoming people. And these poor people have come from a war-torn country and they are just trying to start making a living. they are trying desperately to get jobs, they're trying desperately to register. The ones that I'm dealing with, Greg, are professionals. There are dentists, there are doctors, there are electricians, there's a professor of architecture, there's teachers, there's nurses. They just want to work. You know, they want to get on and they don't want this kind of nonsense.
The video is at least just over 5 minutes long. I don't see any Gardaí. Or did Gardaí turn up? Or
the Gardaí appeared at the end. Oh, yes. And they are taking it fairly seriously. And at the end, it was really interesting. There was a lady who came out of one of the houses for slightly further down the road. And she's an Indian nurse working in Letterkenny. And she was confronting them as well. I mean, I think the lady, you can see the lady who comes out from the corner and confronts the man in the balaclava. I mean, good luck to her. I think she deserves a Person of the Year award. I think Leo should be pinning a medal on her. I mean, she really went for it. She gave him what for, and he deserved it. This is, you know, you don't speak for anybody in this community. This is not who we are. We are better than this. And the silent majority do not condone this in any way, shape or form.
No, but the silent majority are silent, though. This guy doesn't mind intimidating drivers either, or members of the public, or what have you. Right, OK. You say the Gardaí are taking it very, very seriously. and some people are pointing out to the irony that it's a non-Irish accent telling the refugees
Absolutely.
To get out.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, as you may not get all of the video, but as the lady who is a fellow Nordy like myself, you know, points out, you know, where did you get that accent, mate? Because you didn't grow up here. And your your mommy didn't raise you like this is apparently one of the phrases she kept shouting at him. And you just think, yeah, you didn't, and you don't represent.
So when you speak to the people that were inside this building, you know, when you say, "Look, this is not necessarily representative of what people think. We all believe this behaviour is unacceptable, and so on and so forth." But they're also watching what's happened in Dublin or what's happening what's happening elsewhere. Presumably, even with that reassurance, they're going, "Really? Okay. Well, is this the start of it?" You know, they are rattled.
They are rattled. Of course they're rattled. And why wouldn't they be rattled? I mean, I'm rattled and I live here. And I think it's just really very sad. And I hope that the people of Fallcarragh will take issue with it and will, you know, come together as a community and make sure that whoever this is responsible is reported to the guards. You don't want to become the village that, you know, people don't go to because... Well, sure, you don't want to go to that business because they're all racist or they're all this. That's not who you are and who you want to be. We are welcoming, you know, we're intelligent, rational human beings. And like I said, the people of Ireland, I don't feel in any way represents us, Greg. You know, I was an immigrant abroad for many years. I worked in London and clearly from my accent, I'd say I'm Nordy, but, you know, abroad, people don't differentiate with us. We're all Irish. We're all Paddies. I was called a Paddy. I was spat at in the street after the IRA bombing of Hyde Park. I was put out of pubs. I was put out of cafes. I was shouted at and just shamed in a newsagent. And I would hope that as a nation of immigrants, the Irish diaspora is returning. This is not who we are. We don't welcome these people the way we were welcomed some places abroad. We welcome them with open arms and take their skills and their high education and their will to work and run with it. They will be fantastic members of society.
Stay where you are, Liz. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I don't know. You've been listening to Liz there. I'm not sure if you saw or heard the video. What do you think of this person's behaviour?
I heard the video. Oh, the person's behaviour now, in fairness, is diabolical. There's no doubt about it. To play rebel songs, first of all, I'll comment on the rebel songs. The people that fought for the freedom of Ireland back in the time when the Troubles were bad would be turning in their graves today to see the state that our country's in and how the so-called IRA are standing back and watching what's happening. So for me, first of all, playing rebel songs should be done away with when you see the state of our country now. It's far worse than it ever was when it was under the English law. Far worse, far worse. The EU and the Three Stooges in Dublin have destroyed Ireland as a country that we know. It is diabolical.
Is the country
not
that
the country.
Bad, Joe? Is the country that bad, though?
It's a country for rich people. Well, I'm telling you now, it's a country for rich people. It's a country for the rich, and the middle class has nothing. The farmers have nothing. There's nobody else has nothing in this country. I am telling you, Greg, when you live in the real world...
Oh, I know that. Listen, I have to ask you a question. It doesn't mean I don't understand, Joe. But you do, whilst not condoning... the actions of this person, you do say, though, that the people of Donegal are not getting equal treatment to the people that are moving here.
Not at all. This is what I'm saying, Greg. There's a lot of people making a lot of money off the back of the Ukrainians coming to this country. And then there's people coming on the radio crying for all the immigrations, this and immigrations, this. But the bottom line is there are a lot of people making a lot of money, but yet no, there's a lot of homeless people in Donegal that the doors weren't open for. There's a lot of families with their sons and daughters, with their children, are living with their parents because the states, they can't get houses, they can't get any properties to live.
Joe, as I said earlier on, though, this group accommodation that these people are in Fallcarragh, or the hotel rooms in every part of Donegal, that's not adequate housing to fix Donegal's homeless problem either, though, is it? They're not, the one solution is not the solution to another problem.
No, 100%.
Bear in mind that a lot of them are living in holiday accommodation, and you're talking about six adult men in a two-bedroom flat with anybody from Donegal. These are strangers, by the way, Joe. They don't know each other. So you're not talking about family groups.
Would you get six
men from Dunfanaghy living or Fallcarragh living together, sharing one bathroom, not having enough chairs around the table to all sit together, not having enough chairs to watch the telly together?
But if that's the case, why did they continue to bring them here, Liz, when it was clear that we couldn't give them proper accommodation, I wonder. No, this
I'm
is not a debate or an argument, Liz. This is a chat, okay? It's not a one view versus the other. It's just a general convo, Liz. So please don't feel challenged.
Yeah, we have
Greg, there's going to be guards taken to Dublin in the next few weeks to supervise homeless people that are going to be sleeping on the streets because we don't have accommodation for these people coming to our country. There are going to be guards to have to supervise them being homeless on the streets.
Yeah, okay.
Are you telling me that's a country that's in good state and a good status?
Liz, come back there, please.
I think the thing that you've got to remember, Joe, is that there would be... I lived and worked in Dublin way before COVID and way before the Ukrainians came. There was a homeless problem in Dublin and a problem with accommodation 5 years ago. This is not a new issue. This is a problem that the government needs to step in and do something about. And I agree, the rhetoric is not enough. But the other thing to bear in mind, Joe, is that I hear a lot of people say, oh, the Ukrainians are getting things that Irish are not. They are not. They get the same social welfare. They get the same payments as everybody else. There's no more for them. There's no less for them. But also,
I totally agree with you. I've worked with Ukrainians up there in the factory here. I'm down here in Gador. And I swear to you, I've never worked with nicer people. I get on so well with them. I have no objections to the Ukrainians. I promise you, I don't. My problem is fix the problems in our country first before you start taking in them by thousands where we can't help them. We're not helping them by bringing them into, as you say, holiday accommodations. That's not helping anybody. I mean, I know people are staying in the house.
Liz is saying, Joan, Liz doesn't need me to back her up. But in 2018, there was 10,000 people homeless in Ireland. Now, it has gone up 2,000. But of those, almost 4,000 were children. Do you know what I mean? We do have to put this in context and say the homeless. Now, I think maybe a better argument, Joe, if you don't mind me saying, is that we were able to provide this very good response over the last couple of years, and we've shown how quickly we can respond when we want to. If we had the same will, many people would feel, to address the Irish homelessness problem, and that includes wraparound service and supports and what have you, then there should not be 10,000 in 2018 and 13,000 in 2023 Irish people homeless. And by the way, when we say Irish people homeless, a very large proportion of them are not Irish nationals, by the way. They aren't, not that that matters, but just to be clear, because stats are really important on this as well. But, like, we need the same level of focus, don't we, to treat Irish homelessness as a COVID stroke immigration type, refugee type crisis, Liz? No, would you not like to see that?
Yeah, but you can't. Yeah, I would absolutely. But I think you're conflating two ideas which are not necessarily the same thing. The Ukrainians living in Donegal being harassed by balaclava.
No, of
men
course. I thought we've moved a wee bit past that, Liz. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not the same thing with the issues that were long-standing in this country. And at the end of the day, I do hear what you're saying, Joe, that they came to this country. But sadly, Mr. Putin has his own timetable. He didn't turn around and say to these people, well, sure, we'll wait and see where you have somewhere to
but
go.
Liz, let me give you an example. And this is why it's important that the state manages people and the message. Okay, Liz. Now, this I am very open, by the way, but I just want to give you an example. In Sligo and many other counties, okay, to deal with this crisis, we commissioned hundreds of units of temporary accommodation, prefabricated homes, okay? And no one has a problem with that. Now, then in Donegal, we have the defective concrete crisis, and the government has said they're not sending one modular home to Donegal. Now, what that does, a lot of the people in these houses work with and support refugees. They've no issue with them. But can you imagine how that makes them people feel? You see, this has got nothing to do with this Egypt and the balaclava.
But again, how does it make them feel that they want to live in a holiday cottage which is not well insulated and is not warm? You know, you're saying that the modular homes are
excellent, and I know that's not, but my point is what happens is it makes people feel like they don't want to feel, because they see one set of people seemingly getting better treatment than them, and that's always going to cause problems.
Well,
I deal with that. All
I can say, Greg, is and speak to the people that I know, and I'm Dunfanaghy.
Can I come back in?
Falkara,
second,
Creasla. There's no prefabricated homes. There's no special access to wonderful houses. They live in cheek by jowl shared accommodation. There are some of them on Tory, four adult women sharing one bedroom. They have no support, they have no English lessons, they have no nothing. They're stuck out in Tory. What are they doing? They have
Again,
no
that's
special
not a solution to the homelessness problem in Ireland either. That's the point I try and make here, Liz.
Yeah.
You know.
But none of this is helping. They're not taking, the people that I'm dealing with are not taking accommodation from Irish people. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're putting the two together. They're not necessarily the same argument.
Yeah, but Liz, I'll just make my point a little bit clearer then, because of course that's a point I make on this programme incredibly regularly. The point I'm saying, it's the reaction, okay? So many billions of euro have been found, quite rightly so. I'm not saying take any money away, but have been found to fund this accommodation and what have you. What I'm saying is that the Irish people would probably not be feeling like many of them do feel if they said, right, we're going to now this year or next year put 5 or 6 billion euro into trying to get the 13,000 people off the streets and supported. So it's not an either or, but it makes people feel.
I agree with you, Greg.
Exactly. So I was never talking about throw Ukrainians out of accommodation and put Irish in there. I would never say that, and I've been very consistent on this program. But if the people who are homeless and those that support them saw the level of right, whatever it takes, we'll do it. For that group of people, this would be a far more harmonious country. That's all I'm saying, Liz.
Yes. Greg, can I come back in a wee second?
Yes, Joe, come back in and then I'll give Liz a word then.
Liz, to be honest, do you know the thing is, Liz, we're actually all on the one page. There's no doubt about it. There's nobody disagreeing with anybody here. We're not wanting, I'm not for any reason coming on here saying about the refugee, I'm talking about the Ukrainians. And I'm not saying come on here and get the Ukrainians out. That's not fair. That's not what I'm coming on here to say. What I'm saying is charity should start at home. Now, let me finish this point, please. As the amount, like, we had a local TD there recently, and he tried to get this put in place for anybody with Airbnbs to pay 50% on tax for an Airbnb.
Yeah,
but
Thomas
if they rent their house
proposals.
Long-term,
yeah.
That's right. And then their house would, if they rented long term, they wouldn't be paying any tax. First of all, I love that. I think that would have been a brilliant idea. Now, there's also, I'm telling you, you could travel up and down this country. I go down to Galway quite a lot. I have family in Galway. And you could count, honest to God, there's thousands and thousands of empty homes here in Ireland, like with nothing been done to it, maybe family disputes or whatever. The council should be coming in there, looking to sort them out, looking to buy them. there's ways around these problems. But what I'm saying, my point is, Liz, fix the charity at home before
Liz agrees to bring
people into it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Joe, listen,
yeah.
Thank you for your points well made. Now, Liz, I just want it to be, I don't want the wrong impression of the tone of this conversation to go out, because I think we need to have conversations that are constructive and open and supportive of the people in Falkara, should never be treated like that there, but also maybe recognising the core issues that may spark those type of emotions that we have a government that is responsible for them. But as I say, you have the say there, Liz.
I think, Greg, that you need to be careful about these arguments. I think the idea of homeless in Ireland is a separate, and certainly in Dublin, is a very different issue to Ukrainians and Ukrainians are. They have refugee status in Ireland, in Dunfanaghy, Chríslaw, Falkara. They are here because we invited them to our country. We asked them and told them we would take them in. I think that there's a lot of rumours and misunderstandings going on. They do not have special things that Irish people do not. They are on welfare payments that every other Irish person is entitled to. They want to work. The 60 or so that I know, not a single one of them is an economic refugee, Greg. They are here because they are terrified in their own country.
Of course,
there are many of them who are well-educated, professional people, business people. I have one gentleman who has hotels in Crimea. The Russians came in, took them off, and kicked them out. Mm-hmm. He's a multimillionaire in Ukraine. He's here living in a shared flat in Falkara with five other men he's never met in his life. That's not an economic migrant.
Yeah, okay, but listen,
that's
I've heard, I get you. And again, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't want it sort of to come across that I was saying something that I wasn't saying.
I consistently
say on this program that they are two separate issues, that you don't take money from... We are a very rich country, we're told. We're putting money away for a rainy day. But what I am saying, until such time as whatever government is in power is seen and actually seen to be actively fixing the housing crisis in this country, there are people, for right or wrong, that even if they don't want to, are going to feel discouraged by seeing another group of individuals seemingly in inverted commas being looked after. And that's in no way to take away from the awful plight of those people, Liz, but it has to be recognised, because that's what people are talking out there. But listen, I think we can all agree what the people in Falkara
Again, I would come back and say, Greg, very different to live in a two-bedroomed flat with six strangers.
It's the point I've made on this programme.
Men wouldn't do it.
I've made this that point.
And holiday lets that are
also,
not...
And I've also made the point too that a lot of the problem with homelessness, there are other issues as well. There could be addiction issues, there could be abuse
issues,
and
mental health issues.
And that would require many other wraparound services. And that's what we should be doing. And I think if people saw the same urgency in that area, we would have a much more harmonious country. That's all I'm saying, Liz.
I think also we should remember that the people of Donegal are hospitable.
Of course we are welcoming.
We are a warm and wonderful nation, and that we should treat our Ukrainian friends the same way.
And that is why that's why this incident stands out so much, because it is so far removed from the welcome we have given to people. Yes, people can express their frustrations, but overall, I think Donegal has been incredibly, incredibly welcoming and continues to be so to our new county folk.
Well, I would hope, and then I hope that continues, and that somebody somewhere might look at that video and know who he was and go and talk to the Garda.
Liz, thanks so much, and thanks for engaging in the chat and joining Joe in convo there. I do appreciate it, Liz. Imelda May has a poem. You don't get to be racist and be Irish. It's well worth reading. It speaks so many truths. Another look at the families of Donegal who have mica and are in need of homes and who are struggling to get reasonable accommodation because landlords are all renting to the highest bidder. I feel Donegal, because of its housing crisis, should not accept any of these refugees until the mica crisis is under control. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, how many new refugees or international protection applicants are coming to Donegal now. We'll see. A guy from Scotland telling foreigners to get out of Ireland. What a fool. Another ex-Ukrainian military. So much for just women and children. Ask her how much for Irish people. About time. Thank you. Yeah, and Joe's views and similar views have been aired in this programme as well. I really feel it's important that respectfully and with as little emotive language as possible, because it gets us nowhere, that we get to hear what people feel and what people think. I'm aware of several families of Ukrainians who have been staying in accommodation in a business place near to us. They've been there for several months. There has been absolutely no trouble of any kind. I feel it is a privilege to be able to accept them in our community. These nationalist bigots have short memories. The Irish have been welcome in many countries worldwide when they've had to leave her here to make a life elsewhere. It is our shame that we are such an intolerant, unwelcoming people. And I remember... on the phone, is it? Sorry, I was waiting for you to tell me. Kyle, sorry about that. I was filling until such time as you were joining me. Kyle, we have to be brief on this one, but it's an important situation. What happened last evening?
Well, just up the Kirkbrack Ruskie Road, just as you're going into Killigordon, at about roughly between 5:30 and 6:30, just the woman beside us, she lives on her own, she's probably around 70s, and she heard a noise out in the back of her thing, out in the back shed, and she just went out, not thinking anything of it, and she went out, and when she opened the shed, there were a man standing, and she said they just met her with a fist, and she's the one side of her face is all cut and all swollen up, you know, and they're nothing taken, you know, it's just more the principle of it.
Yeah, but she was the victim of a serious assault, knocked unconscious.
Yeah. This happened, I say, between 5:30 and 6:30. And she rung me probably after 9 o'clock. So there was a space of a couple hours there. I don't know. She could have been lying out all that time.
Concussed or disorientated or whatever. What if the guard... I presume, hopefully, she rang the guardie.
She rung the guards, and the guards just said they took a note of it. You know, they didn't call out or nothing else about it. They just said they took a note.
Right, we're going to have to check up on that. We'll chase that up. Anyone with any information, an individual in and around the Ruskie Carrickbrack area of Killigordon between 5:30 and 6:30, an elderly lady living on her own, the victim of what seems quite a vicious assault. We'll make our inquiries, Kyle. We'll come back to this if we need to. Sorry to be brief, but thank you for your time today.
No, that's 100%.
Okay, take care of yourself. Right, very worrying incident. Okay, we're back with you tomorrow morning at 9 with the Friday panel. Seamus is going to be answering your legal questions with That's Entertainment. Michael Sugru, Mr. Michael Sugru, and so much more besides. It's already packed. We'll see what else we can fit in. Have a lovely Thursday. Stay tuned.